Good morning and welcome to Burlington East. Please be seated. So I'd like to welcome everybody here on this long weekend, still gray, but I hope the sun's coming out this afternoon and for tomorrow. Let's all hope and pray for that. I'd like to welcome any visitors that may be with us today and ask that you sign the guest book at the by the front door. Would appreciate that. And there will be fellowship downstairs in the Douglas Hall after the service. Now, you may have noticed that we've given the choir the day off. They're really not off. That's not what they're doing. They're not off.
I thought they were hiding.
No, they're not off. The choir's on a mission today. They're sitting among you, listening for good singers. So I warn you in advance. Just a couple of announcements to bring to your attention. First, being the long weekend, we're going to let Renata take tomorrow off, so the office will be closed on Monday of this week. I'm sure that's no surprise to yourselves. The Women's Auxiliary is holding the annual potluck lunch on Wednesday, May the 30th. That's 1 week earlier than normal. And all the noted men, all the ladies in the congregation are invited to attend. And finally, the last thing I'd like to bring to your attention, the lighting project of converting this building inside and outside to LED is now completed. So wherever you go in this building, it is now LED lights, whether it's the parking lot, downstairs, anywhere on the main floor of the building, it's all LED lights at this point in time. If you find a non-LED light, let me know. The one I know of is right there on the pulpit, but it's the only one I know of. So with that, let's take a moment and prepare for service.
On this, the Sunday of Pentecost, we remember the flames of tongues that came down amongst the people. The Spirit of God was poured out on the people in the world and in that special group that met. Christ is with us this morning in our worship. We'll gather for our call to worship.
Our responsive call to worship is printed in the bulletin, and we will say it in unison. God declares, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The young shall vision. The elders shall dream dreams. Both men and women shall prophesy. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come, let us worship the Lord with gladness. Our first hymn is Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, number 290.
Please be seated. Let us now call on the name of the one who invites us to speak the truth about ourselves and our relationships, and truly promises to show us mercy, as we will be reading much about today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, you come among your people as one who fashioned all things, who face to face revealed your knowledge of our lives, and whose presence brings assurance and hope. Lord, pour out upon us that spirit, as we're going to read in the book of Acts, as was prophesied in Joel. Pour upon us the spirit of your love, so that in hearing and seeing the gifts that you have for us in this life, we may know the way to live in thanksgiving. And it's that outpouring of your spirit, Lord, that brings us to this point this morning. Holy and merciful God, we don't always know how to pray as we ought to, and we all know too well our constant failures to do as you've commanded us to do so and hold fast to your word. And so, Lord, it's this moment this morning that we come and ask for that you will forgive us for the divisions that we may nurture at times, and to ask you, Lord, to guide us to your way and to always keep us in your care, Lord, that we're asking ultimately, Lord, that you will lead us into and in faith in everything we do. Lord, we trust your word that the Spirit of truth, your Spirit of truth, will show us all things and grant us all courage and all peace, and that this gospel message proclaimed from this very moment in this particular Sunday that we remember Pentecost, that this gospel message, this good news message of Jesus, will change our lives and forgive our lives. And we have confidence because of that. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name, and we come before you, Lord, now, saying the prayer that Jesus taught us together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. People of God, body of Christ, sisters and brothers, the Spirit of God's truth has come upon us to creation and come upon all of us to interpret the mysteries of eternal time through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, and by the authority of the Church, we are completely forgiven of our sin. Be at peace with one another because of God's mercy. Amen. Let's join together now in our children's hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful, number 435. And during the second verse, we'll have the children come forward for a time together. Please be seated. Good morning, boys and girls. Nice to see your smiling faces. Well, they're smiling. Now they're smiling too. That's nice. Nice to see. And nice to be back, everybody. My youngest daughter got married while I was away. So now both my daughters are married and not living at home anymore. We miss them. We do. They might come back. That's right. We miss them nonetheless. Although they were just a sidebar, boys and girls. Did you see the royal wedding yesterday at all? Yeah, we got up early to watch it. Both my girls came back to our house on Friday, and we all got up early and had an English fry-up breakfast and sat around and watched it. We're low class with the fry-up, but we like fry-up anyway, but we watched the royal wedding. It was fun. Well, it's good to see you all, and today is a very special Sunday, in particular, in our church year, and I'm wearing something in particular to signify that. And this is a stole, and I wear this, what this is called, a stole, and I wear these on different Sundays, and you see different ones I wear, and I usually wear them for a reason. In particular, it has to do with the color. And this red is one that we wear on this particular Sunday, the Sunday of Pentecost, it's called. And it's something very special took place on the Sunday of Pentecost, and I know you're going to talk about that in Sunday school today, but I wanted to read you a little bit of the story of what we're going to read later with the grown-ups. And it goes like this. When the Feast of Pentecost came, they, and that's all the people that were believers in Jesus, were all together in one place. And then without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, a gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through all of them. And they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. And there was all kinds of different people there. And they were all hearing things in their own language as well. People who were speaking languages to people that nobody understood, but people from the land they were from did. And they said, how come we're hearing all these things going on? They didn't understand. And Peter said something very special. And I want to give you a demonstration of some of how maybe that happened. But before I do that, I want to tell you a story so they can hear the story too. I was speaking at another church one time, and I was reading that very scripture reading. And the fans in the ceiling weren't working. And as I was reading that, a little old lady decided to get up at the back to fix the problem because it was getting warm in the church. And she turned the fans on full blast. So when I read that the Spirit moved like a mighty wind through the building, it actually did. And I was like, I didn't pay her to do that, folks. It just happened to work out. But people were speaking in different languages, and I'm going to try to hold this up to my microphone and see what happens. Bear with me up there, Ron, and see if it works. And this is what Peter said to them, and it's a lady speaking in this case because I'm using something special. Let's see if we can get this.
In the last day, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams.
Could you all hear that okay? Yeah, you got the idea. Well, what happened was that also got said at the same time like this.
In the last days, zegt God, zal ik mijn geest over alle mensen uitstorten. Je zonen en dochters zullen profeteren. Je jonge mannen zullen visioenen zien. Je oude mannen zullen dromen.
Make any sense to you guys, did it? In a sense to somebody, and how about this one? And lastly, for us Canadians,
Dieu dit, je répandrai mon esprit sur tous les hommes. Vos fils et vos filles prophétiseront, vos jeunes gens verront des visions, vos vieillards rêveront des rêves.
Now, the thing is, back then, they didn't have the translation thing on their phone, because, well, they didn't have phones like we do. But what happened was, as those words were being spoken, everybody heard that same message about the Spirit being poured out in their own language, and they all understood what was being said. And so they all heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that was that God gave his Son so we could all be saved, that God loved us, and Jesus loves us and helps us to live our lives. And I know in Sunday school you're going to talk a little bit more about Pentecost and what happened that day, but keep in mind, everybody heard God's voice speaking each in their own language that special day, and something very special was said. Let's say a little prayer together, boys and girls, about that. Come on and join us. Lord, I pray for the boys and girls, and they'll have a good time in Sunday school and learn some more about your Spirit. Bless them, Lord. And we thank you that you're speaking to them in their own way, in their own language, in so many ways, too. Be with them, Lord, today, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Off you go. And we'll sing our last two verses of this hymn, Seated, please. As we prepare to hear God's word this morning, and a great message that we're going to have in these scripture readings containing the outpouring of God's Spirit and living in the Spirit of God, let's bow our heads for guidance by the Holy Spirit. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will come again once more in this very place, like a mighty wind in our midst. As long ago you inspired and you astonished and you even confused people at times, come to us now, but fill our ears with the sound of your breath and fill our eyes with the brilliance of your word in the presence of each other. And Lord, fill us, truly fill us, our hearts with your good word. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Our response to Psalm this morning is taken from Psalm 104, verses 24 to 35. And Psalm 104, in some context here, is a hymn to God as the creator and nourisher of the world and all that is in it. And a very good psalm to be read. In fact, it is a psalm that would be read on this particular Jewish holiday that has become, with a Greek word, as we know it, as Pentecost. It talks about all the great things and uses lots of imagery throughout this particular psalm, very much like with a hymn that we just sang, talking about the greatness of God. And there's a reference in here, and I've talked about this before, there's a reference in here about a coney, a C-O-N-E-Y. I had no idea what that was, and I looked it up, and it's kind of like a groundhog that lives up in the mountains and hides, and God provides a place even for the coneys to live and survive. And it's wonderful. God provides everything for us as a gift. So let's read responsively 104, 24 to 35.
104, beginning at verse 24. O Lord, how manifold are your works. Yonder is the sea, great and wide. There go the ships and the Phaeacian that you formed to sport in it. When you hide your face, they are dismayed. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. Who looks on the earth and it trembles. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God where I have being. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more.
Thank you, Bob. Our Old Testament reading, again, this is being the last Sunday of the Easter season, is actually taken from the book of Acts. And it's, again, a very common reading to us here in the church, and definitely one, as we've spoken with the children already, talks about, maybe one way it could be phrased, this is the birth of the church as we understand church today. And wonderful things took place during this particular time. And it's from this point forward that the people begin to gather as Jesus followers, and all people from all different faiths begin to gather as well. Because up to this point, it's been a Jewish cult that has been running. And I'm going to explain in the sermon a little bit more of this Pentecost concept and where it comes from. Acts 2, beginning at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like a rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'Now they're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Our New Testament reading is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 27. That's on page 158 in the New Testament part of your pew Bibles. And Paul is talking about, again, the Spirit groaning and waiting for this great outpouring of God's Spirit, the return of Christ, and how this is the really good reference, I've used this many times when it comes to our praying for other people. We sometimes don't know the words to put together for a prayer, but the Spirit does, and Paul teaches that in this reading. Romans 8, beginning at verse 22. "We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And our gospel reading is taken from John 15 and a little bit from the selected verses and into 16 as well. And we're talking again the story. Jesus is talking about this, what's going to happen that we read in Acts. We're kind of going backwards in time, talking about the Spirit being there as an advocate. And I remember the band I was in, we used to do some comedy sketches, and one of the translations for advocate is comforter. And in this comedy sketch, God promises you a comforter, and the response from the fellow is, "You mean one of those blankety things?" Well, no, not quite that, but it's similar, I suppose, in some ways. But it's a comfort for us and wraps us, God's Spirit, and guides us. John 15, verse 26. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I'm going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of God. Let's join together now in this wonderful hymn, How Great Thou Art, 332, and remember how great God's love for us and act in our life truly is. How Great Thou Art, 332. Please be seated. Well, I don't know how many remember, but even though I had a very busy sort of time while I was away, I do remember leaving you with a task. I left you with homework before I left. I wanted you to be thinking about bias and how that affects how we see Scripture and how we read Scripture and how we even hear preaching at times. So I'm giving you a reminder. Homework's not due today. We'll talk about it another time. But we do want to talk about that and how it affects, and I will continue to think about it, that. And today we're talking about language, and that got me thinking about bias as well. And language, of course, as we read about it in the book of Acts. And, of course, I've got to look up play on words. I've got a couple here. Three cats were racing to swim the English Channel. An American cat named 123, a German cat named Eins, Zein, Drei, and a French cat named Un, Deux, Trois. At the finish line, the American cat came in first, the German cat came in second, but the French cat was nowhere to be found. Why? Because Un, Deux, Trois, quatre, cinq. You got to think about it. An Englishman, a Frenchman, and a Spaniard, and a German are in New York as tourists. They hear a street performer, but they can't see him. The performer steps back to try to give them a little better view. Can you see me now? None of them can, so they reply, no, non, no, and nine. And the street performer gets up on a pedestal and asks, can you see me now? And this time they reply, yes, we see ya. Everybody heard something in their own language, I hope. It's a play on words, and I'm doing it intentionally, obviously, because we're talking about what happened a little bit in the book of Acts. There are quite a lot of languages being spoken, and I only stumbled over a couple of the countries that were listed in that long list. But we know this special event as the Day of Pentecost, and although many languages were spoken, everyone understood what was being conveyed that day, and that thing that was being conveyed, the important thing, was the gospel, and gospel is a word that means good news. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And I want to discover a little bit about that today. For it is in this hope and in this message that we are saved and changed forever. And before we talking a little bit more about that, let's bow our heads in prayer. Spirit of God, this is the time every Sunday when it's the real teaching is coming out. And we're listening for your voice, all of us, myself included. And it's difficult on Sunday mornings sometimes because, you know, we're in a rush to get things organized and get ourselves here, and there's maybe going lots going on in our families and friends, and there's a great deal of activity there can be. Or conversely, Lord, we can be extremely tired. And this is the time when it's hard to concentrate because, you know, there's that, let's close our eyes for a moment, and then off we go into a sailboat kind of launch in our brain. So Lord, we pray right now that you will open our minds, wake us up, focus us so we can hear that which you have for us this day, this special day of Pentecost when your Spirit was poured out big time in the church. And we pray this now in Christ's name. Amen. Shavuot is the Hebrew word for today. It is known as the Feast of Weeks in English. It is known as Pentecost in Greek, and is a Jewish holiday that occurs on the sixth day of the Hebrew month of Sivan, which happens to be late May or early June because their calendar moves with the moon as opposed to ours that does not. Shavuot commemorates the anniversary of the day that God gave the Torah, or his word, law, to the entire nation of Israel assembled at Mount Sinai, although the association between the giving of the Torah and Shavuot is not explicitly outlined in biblical text. It is a holiday that involves a bit of a pilgrimage back in their time. They all had to come to Jerusalem, and that's why everybody was gathered together, as it says in the book of Acts. They had all come to Jerusalem for the Festival of Weeks. They'd all come to celebrate the day that God gave the law, his word, the Ten Commandments to the people of God. It was Shavuot. It was Pentecost. Pentecost, also coming from the Greek, is, like I say, Festival of Weeks. It is a number of days and weeks that are in the calendar. So in the Eastern Orthodox Church, it refers to the 50 days that occurred between Easter and this particular day, this holiday that comes up. So we have this word now that becomes part of our Christian faith, Pentecost. It's also known as White Sunday, and often people will wear white. I chose to wear red this day because some calendars, this represents the flames of God and the blood of Christ given in that day. So it's important to understand the context and why people were all sitting in the same place, as it says in the book of Acts, at the same day. There was a Jewish festival taking place, and this is one of those festivals. Everybody had to come to Jerusalem at some point for this festival. So people from all over the Roman world, the Mediterranean basin, had gathered during a period of time, probably a couple of weeks it took place, to worship in Jerusalem. So very crowded, people speaking all kinds of different languages, as we read the list from the book of Acts. And they were there doing what they were supposed to do and worshiping in the way that they were supposed to, but something took place. As it says in references, briefly, and I misread that in the book of Acts, the bulk of the Jews in the time of Jesus did not speak Hebrew fluently, at least biblical Hebrew, and they certainly didn't likely read much of it. That was left for the part on the priest to do. Those gathered on that day of Pentecost or Shavuot were from all the European continent, as I said, the Roman world, and spoke whatever language they originated from. So even though they're Jewish faith, and they worshipped as Jews, Hebrew was not part of their language. In fact, I went to a synagogue not quite a number of years ago now, as just part of my exploration and understanding when I was at Knox, different ways of doing services. And I asked my professor, instead of going to a different denomination, could I go to a Jewish worship service? And yeah, sure. And it was really it was a Reformed Jewish service. So again, we all think all Jews were, like, if you're not Christian, everybody thinks all Christians worship the same, and we know they don't. If you're not Jewish, we think all Jews worship the same, and no, they don't. So there's Orthodox Jews. You might recognize those men have the long curly things coming down on big beards. Those are Orthodox Jews, and they worship a certain way. Reformed Jews tend to be much more relaxed about things, and in fact, this service was. And in that particular day, they had a guest speaker. It was a lady rabbi who was in speaking, and it was a special day just for, they wanted to sing. And the service, like I said, it was like being here. It was like being in a service here in this church in so many ways. They read some scriptures, they sang some songs, and they had all been given out noisemakers of some kind. We had little eggs and things with beads in them and tambourines, and it was like being in a Pentecostal Jewish church. It was kind of odd, you know, in a way. And it was a lovely service. But during that service, because I like to read Hebrew, even though I don't know what I'm reading, they get out the Psalms. They're going to read the Psalm, and they're all going to read responsively as we do, or in unison. And so they're reading in Hebrew. Well, some of them were reading in Hebrew. In fact, almost none of them were reading in Hebrew. And I was sounding out some of the words that I can do, because I can sound the words out again, not knowing what I'm reading, just knowing what the sounds are. And a man standing beside me, you're pretty good at that. You're a new guy here and everything. Do you know what you're reading? I haven't got a clue. Well, I'll tell you, you're doing better than most of the people here. They can't even sound the words out. So, and included in that, they also had the English underneath. So service was somewhat partially in Hebrew and partly in English. So it was interesting to be a part of that service and see some of the common things that took place. One of the things, and I will digress slightly by saying, when we walk the scripture in here, process it down the center of the church, it's God's. It represents for us as Presbyterians and in many other denominations do the same, God's word coming amongst people. And what they did at this particular Jewish service was they got out the Torah, so they got out, you know, that great big huge set of scrolls with the first five books, and they take it out of the case at the back up here, and then they walk it down, and the rabbi walks all around the people a couple of times, and as they do, people are reaching out to kiss it. because it's God's word surrounding them before they even begin their service. And the symbology there was just amazing to watch and experience. And I love that idea. Anyway, back to the point here. People were gathered for this holiday, and they even though they didn't know Hebrew, Hebrew might have been being spoken, but the point was there were many, many languages there. And people were from all over the place. They weren't, just because they were Jews, didn't mean they all understood Hebrew, I guess was the point I'm trying to make. In fact, probably they didn't. So trying to speak to a large crowd gathered at this point would be very, very difficult because, again, there could be a dozen different dialects of languages, let alone languages that were there. But everybody heard something common. Everybody heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pause there for a minute. And I pause there intentionally because I want you to think, because I have had to do that in the last little while. In fact, I have to say, quite honestly, in the last couple of years, I have been asking myself, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? We take it for granted, that phrase. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ. What is it? What is it, to put it in words succinctly, that if I were standing in front of a crowd of people who all spoke different languages and God spoke through me and I said the gospel of Jesus Christ, they'd all hear something in their own language. They wouldn't just hear the phrase, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What would they hear that would make sense? Paul's dealing with a similar thing when he's writing to the Corinthians. And it took a long time for me to find this, because it was an obscure kind of a thing to try to word, especially when you're trying to do it on a computer. Found in 1 Corinthians 15. And this is what Paul says right from verse 1. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which you are also being saved, if you hold firmly to the message I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. So there's his introduction. I'm going to remind you of something. I'm going to remind you of the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ that I first delivered to you, and you all became believers because of it. And here's what it is. 4 points. That Christ, I'm reading right from Corinthians again, that Christ died for our sins in accordance to the Scriptures. So point one of the good news of Jesus Christ is that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Point two, that he was buried. Pretty simple. That Christ died for our sins in accordance to the Scriptures, that he was buried. Third, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. Point one, he died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And the fourth point, and that he appeared to Cephas, then the 12, then appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he appeared to James and to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. So the fourth point of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that he appeared to people to be witnesses to him. So it wasn't just a story that somebody heard from somebody, from somebody, from somebody. Christ died for our sins, the wrongdoings in our life that separated us from God, according to the Scriptures. It was told in Scripture that this is what had to happen. That he was buried. And that on the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures, again correlating directly with what had been prophesied. And then he appeared in person. Here's a list. That's the gospel message. Now, when I first put that together in that context for myself, this was about a year ago now I did that, and I actually have it at home. I've got it on a little piece of card that I printed, the 4 points. What strikes me the most about that is they mean nothing in one sense. They're just words. It's just language. Christ died for our sins accordance with the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then he appeared to a pile of people. This is the message for today, the day of Pentecost. The message of the church with a capital C, and it is the good news of Jesus Christ. This is the message that no matter what language it might be spoken in, over the years, over the thousands of years now, has caused debate, has caused death, has caused imprisonment, has caused families and friends to split. It is a message that has changed lives, it has healed the sick, it has freed people, and it has brought family and friends back together again. Those four simple terms mean nothing on their own, but there's something about them that causes upheaval, that causes change, that causes something great to happen. And it is because it is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in our world. It's really difficult for me, I have to say quite honestly, to put into words the emotion for me behind this. Because this is what we believe as Christians in 4 points. And there's been volumes of things written over these last several thousand years. Volumes. Go in my office, you'll see some of them. Calvin in particular. Volumes of things that he's written on what those 4 points are all about. Those things in China today will put you in jail. Speaking those 4 points publicly will put you in prison in China. Speaking those 4 points publicly on a street out here, people will laugh at you. Why? Who cares? It's just words. But they're the words of the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. That message is what was proclaimed at Pentecost. And it changed lives that day. And the power of God's Spirit was behind every single one of those words that was spoken. Simple words in so many ways, powerful in others. It's a message that we've come so accustomed to. That's the word I want. We've become so accustomed to hearing that we don't hear it anymore. I think that's why I've been saying for some months now, when I talk about bias and I talk about reading Scripture, try in prayer to get God's Spirit to open your heart and mind to read Scripture, in particular like Romans or Corinthians 15, as if you'd never heard it before, as if it's the first time you're hearing it. Put away all of the things that you have supposed about these things, the messages that you've been hearing for decades now, in many cases, and try to hear it for the first time. How is it moving you? We must never lose the wonder of the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our hearts and minds. For in this hope we were saved. And there's a song I want to read the lyrics to you in closing to this, written by Paul Stuckey back in 77, and it's a song that I love the guitar work on it, but it's not just the guitar work in particular, it's the concept, because we have a live recording of him introducing this song, and he talks about this wonder of God at work, and the wonder of the good news of Jesus Christ in our lives. The wounded warrior turns his head on the ground where he had fallen, to feel the cool dirt on his cheek, and to hear the young girl calling, "My God," he cried, "I cannot see." The girl ran from the forest. Better it would have been to die than to live a life of darkness. And the tears of that young girl cried over her fallen lovers. They cleansed his eyes that he might heal, and so he did recover. Isn't this the way God works his miracles? A blinded soldier given back his sight. Now, a scientist may tell you how night turns into day, but he can never take the wonder away. In the cool white light of an office behind a security guard, computer supplies suggestions to improve the credit card. The new card would be issued at the time of birth, and the credit potential would be determined for everyone on earth. And as for ease of identification, though there's some aversion now, the credit number will be tattooed on the wrist or on the brow. And so we build a beast revealed by miracles. As time unfolds, the prophet's dreams, remember what they say about coincidence, life is always more than what it seems. In the final moments of the sunny afternoon around a post, the guards are rolling bones. 20 feet above them hangs a miracle. Greater love no man has ever known. Then suddenly a cloud appears, darkening the sun. The thunder rolls and a question leaps to the minds of everyone. Isn't this the way God works his miracles? A sign of love for all the world to see. And like those tears of healing, the Spirit is revealing that Jesus gave his life for you and me. The wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today I pray that it can just fill us again and renew us, just as it did in Pentecost. Fill us with something exciting again. It's not just the boring old story of that Jesus died thing, but it's that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again after 3 days, he showed himself to over 500 people. Proof that he was alive again. Proof that he'd conquered death. Proof that this world was no longer the same. The wonder of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Holy Spirit was sent to increase our compassion and to make us glad to spread that good news by caring for others in need. And may we enter into this discipline of giving as to work for the Holy Spirit as the Spirit moves us. Now it's time for our offering and our tithes. Father God, we thank you for the blessings that you give us in our lives. We thank you that we can bring an offering such as this, that it can be used to your glory and your service. So bless this offering, Lord, and bless it that it may present and show and just revive the good news of Jesus Christ in this world today. We pray this in his mighty name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, I think that, because I hear it from so many over the years, we all have one hymn that just kind of just grabs you. That's the one for me, just as I am. When I hear that hymn, I just, I kind of fall to pieces, let's say, in some respects. Because to me, that psalm, just as I am, I'm coming to you, Lord, as I am. That's the gospel. That's the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God loves us as we are. He doesn't ask us to be anything. He doesn't ask us to become something before we can join up. He doesn't ask us to be a certain way before he'll love us. He just does. And it's important that we come to God as we are and that God truly loves us that way. So the flowers in the sanctuary today have been placed by Ann David in loving memory of her parents. We will keep that in mind. And I know that there are many folks in our congregation who, all of you, I can look around this room and I could probably say everybody here has got something going on. I can think of something for everybody. And that's a good thing in so many ways, because it's not all bad stuff going on. There's good things going on too, and that's a great thing. So it's good to see answers to prayer in different people's lives today, and it's good to see that there are people with needs around us. And as I say from week to week, everybody in this room, you've got one person, somebody that you know that has a need. Somebody that you know has something special. They need that gospel healing in their life. And this is the time to be thinking about them and praying for them. So we'll have an opportunity to, as I've been doing, to say those names. You know, I do that based on that scripture that we read today, that sometimes we don't know what to say, but the Spirit does. Sometimes we don't even know the words, but God's Spirit knows those words. So sometimes by just saying that person's name, that's that commitment of faith that, Lord, I don't know what to say for this person, but you do, and you know what they need, so you take it, and you heal them. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you once again that we can come to you with this section we call our response of faith and the prayers of the people. Lord, we thank you that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is something that's more than words. It is something that's very real. And it changes lives. It heals people. And so we come before you this morning, Lord, with needs that we have in our lives, needs that we know of other people that they have, situations that are taking place. Lord, you know, you put the radio on or the TV on for the news, and there's been another shooting in another city, in Santa Fe in particular, this past week, and there's been a bus crash here, and there's been just, it seems that there's all kinds of tragedy taking place. And yet in the midst of all that, there's wonderful things taking place. People are being fixed and mended, and some people are off building houses for strangers they don't even know, and just lots is going on positively as well. So Lord, we come before you this morning to let the Spirit speak, as we read this morning. Let your Spirit speak the prayers that need to be said. And we take a moment, Lord, and we offer names of people in our lives. It may even be ourselves, but offer a name that is in need. And we trust and we have faith that you will heal them. We do that now. Lord, we entrust all those whose needs are known to you and us this day, those whose needs are only known to you, those who have spoken out loud a name, those who have spoken it quietly in their hearts. Grant peace to all through your Son, Lord. We pray for healing in every person and every name that's been mentioned this day. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I do want to add one last comment, folks. Thank you. This is a true act of faith. And I know maybe I've said it too many times. I don't think I can say it too many times in one sense. I've been at church services and Bible study gatherings and whatnot where we've had an opportunity to say names, and it's kind of like open mic night and nobody gets up or nobody says anything. This is a real act of faith, and I thank you for that. It encourages me from week to week too. It's an act of faith to hear all these names being mentioned, that God is going to do something, and God is doing something, and that's great. Let's join together now in our final hymn, Forth in Thy Name, O Lord, I Go, because it is in the name of Jesus, and good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we do go, number 652. Jesus did not leave us without hope, but he sent the Holy Spirit to nurture our faith and to love in this world. So let us live this vision in all that we do. Respond to rancor with kindness. Be patient where there is pain, and let your dreams become reality, and let peace be with all of you. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you, and may God give you his peace in your going out and your coming in, in your lying down and your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come to stand before Jesus in that day in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.